We continue the shiur in Gemara. We'll repeat the last statement of the last shiur. We did not have time to elaborate on it. So a very brief review for a minute before we go further into that same topic. We spoke about a question that was placed before Rabbi Akiva. When Zainan, one person, asked Rabbi Akiva, said to him, "You and I," he said, "both believe and know that Avodah Zarah has no value whatsoever. Idols, idol worship of the Goyim, the idols they worship have no value, they have no life, they have no power whatsoever. This we both agree in. They are worth nothing, they are considered nothing. Yet, how come we find that these places of idol worship, there are times when people go to this place, people who are sick, people who are crippled, they visit this place very mysteriously. When they come out, they are completely cured. Isn't this a miracle performed by these idols?" Chas v'shalom. In fact, for those who remember, a few years ago, in our time, there was a sort of a rumor or a story told about a certain place, some mystic, an idol mystic, who claimed that he could heal people who came to him. This, of course, too, was a form of idol worship, and this was of the other religion, the other type of religion, and people were skeptical, people mocked it, jeered it, but in fact, it could be that this did occur. They were cured. Is that a miracle? How can a person who's a cripple walk into this place of idol worship and walk out completely cured, defying all the rules of medicine? Rabbi Akiva replied, there is a pasuk in the Torah which says, "V'chaloyim eloyim v'ne'emonim." Let us define the meaning of sickness, of illness, of being incapacitated. These are sicknesses, diseases that are sent down from heaven, naturally. No one becomes ill by himself. The illness itself is fated, decreed by heaven. Now this illness, or disease, or even a plague, which can strike many thousands of people at one time, this illness is actually an angel coming in the form of this disease or sickness to hurt, to punish, to cause anguish to an untold number of people or individuals. Now, therefore, this disease is something we see, we term it a type of sickness. Really, it is an angel who is a messenger of heaven. The word malach in Hebrew has two meanings, angel and messenger. And this malach, just as any other angel, sent by heaven with explicit instructions. He is told where to go, when to go, but he is also told when to return. For example, let's say, for example, the flu. As we show, the flu is sent to a certain home, a person becomes inflicted, and he is ill for a period of a week. It's only a week because he took medicine given to him by a great doctor. If he wouldn't have taken the medicine, it would have taken him 7 days to get better. So this illness, this flu, when it came to this person's home, when it struck this person, this illness was told in heaven, "You are to stay there for a period of 1 week, and then you must come back." This being an angel in the form of this type of virus or germ, naturally will fulfill its mission. Now, Rabbi Akiva said, what happens if this person who is ill decides to go to this place of idol worship just at that moment when the illness is scheduled to go back to heaven? What do you think that angel is going to say? because this person is a fool. I went into this place of idol worship, so I should refuse to obey the command of Hashem, refuse to fulfill my mission. Whatever this person does in his foolishness, he does. But I will fulfill, I will obey, I will carry out the orders I received in heaven. So this is the act of an angel, and fated by Hashem, fated from heaven. Now, the Gemara says that obviously there, all these cases, all these items are destined, they are fated. Ne'emonim, ne'emonim means they are sworn. The messenger is sworn in heaven to fulfill his mission to come back on time. He is also told when to come to earth, which means that, for example, let's take a very clear example. Let us say one of the worst cases we've known in our time, the case of polio. Polio struck so many thousands, tens of thousands of children, and then suddenly a cure, a vaccine, was discovered. There was a Dr. Salk who discovered a vaccine which helped to prevent polio. What was the true case in the eyes, in the light of truth, according to the Gemara? True case was that on that day, the decision in heaven was that this disease should be withdrawn from the earth to a large degree. And so because of that, they were sent down into the mind of this doctor as a messenger, the solution, the cure, or the vaccine to prevent this disease. So in truth, this doctor, the case of the polio vaccine, or the case of any of the other vaccines in the past, smallpox and so on, all these cases, these cures come to light, it is not the doctor that has accomplished it at all. If that doctor was honest, he would say, this is naturally an act of heaven, because what makes this doctor superior to all the doctors prior to him? Surely there were greater doctors than himself, much wiser, much more learned. Now, the Rambam, Zal, never came up with a vaccine against polio or smallpox. Why? Because at that time, it was not destined yet, the time was not ripe for this exact vaccine to be revealed on earth. So that, if the doctor was honest, he would say, I am only a messenger, and he would consider himself fortunate that he was chosen, that he was lucky to be given the revelation of this cure. The same thing is true with doctors, surgeons, who devise new methods for surgery. A laser beam, a type of surgery that cuts out certain risks or dangers, and these new methods are not their work. It's not their accomplishment. It's because at that time, decision came from heaven that this disease or this sickness should be cured without the long-lasting illness. Now, the result is, though, as the Gemara states, the doctors by nature are a cursed lot, because they possess a degree of counter-humbleness, degree of conceit, degree of haughtiness, a superior attitude in which they believe that they are the ones who devised this, they are the ones who discovered this, invented these cures, and they deny the existence of a heavenly power. This is why the Torah speaks so degradingly about doctors, because of the gasus haruach. Ben Azal says, if we look at the thing a little more closely, we'll find this applies to more than just medicine. Any type of discovery that we have, for example, discovery of electricity, which benefited the world so much, one person, one individual discovered electricity, and he became world famous. And to whom did he attribute this, the fortune of this discovery? To himself. He considered himself as a wiser man than all those alive, superior to others, Of course, the Blossomzell says the result was that he himself was destroyed by this same electricity which he discovered. The same with all other types of discoveries or inventions. The one who discovered gunpowder was killed by this gunpowder. Even, Blossomzell says, even Columbus, who discovered America, met his downfall because of this discovery, for those who know the true history, the true background. So, for those who have faith, and for us, it is for us to know the truth. The truth, in all these cases, credit should never be given to a great doctor, a great surgeon who came up with a new type of cure for an illness, but rather the fact that time came exactly at that moment when the decision in heaven, for reasons known to Hashem, was that this illness should terminate, should come to an end. And of course, as is known, when this does happen, those who know are not too happy about it. Because whenever it is written to, whenever a sickness comes to an end, they're overjoyed. This illness came to an end, they found a vaccine against it. No, it is fact. When one angel is recalled, when this ambassador is recalled from earth, there's a second angel ready to take his place. There's always a new disease, as to show which is sent down to earth. And this was the reply of Rabbi Akiva. And the Gemara says further that Rava said to Rabbi Yehuda. We find too that another case, let's find out a further reason for this. We find that when there is a drought, there's a famine, the world is in need of rain, then to one of these leaders of that religion, there comes a vision or a dream in which the idol appears and says, bring me a sacrifice. One of those idols was they sacrifice people to them. Bring me a sacrifice of a person, slaughter a person to me as an offering, and the rain will come. They do this, and it rains immediately afterwards. How come that heaven fulfills something like this for the sake of the idols? Doesn't this strengthen their belief in idol worship? Judah answered, it is true, naturally. But the reason is, the Pasuk says, Imaleitzim hu yolitz, which means that Hashem always gives the person assistance in whatever path he chooses. The person selects the path of life, the path of faith, the path of goodness, the path of religion. He'll find assistance from heaven. He'll be helped along to pursue this righteous path. If a person chooses the path of evil, the path of atheism, then they'll open a door for him and let him fall in, and fall into this trap further. For example, those who want to believe in idol worship, for those heaven will actually perform a miracle. It'll seem to him that the idol helped him, made this miracle, to strengthen his false belief in idols. This is what the Gemara says, and of course this applies to many other cases. The wording is Abolatami Paischenlai, one who comes to make himself impure, to defile himself, then in heaven they open the door for him. There is a wide berth given to them, a wide latitude. Go on to this wrong path, and you'll find freedom. Freedom to follow your own false and wrong dictates. A person who is very lazy will find that he enjoys sleep in the morning to a much greater extent than a second person. You are lazy. You're too lazy to get up in the morning to go to the minyan. So, from heaven they say, fine, we'll make the room just cold enough. We'll enjoy lying under the covers. A certain type of pleasure that is incomparable, if that's what you want. On the other hand, if a person wants to, he has a desire to get up in the morning early, to go to the minyan, to go to Davin, to serve Hashem, to worship properly, that person will be awakened from heaven and given the strength, the stamina, the ability, the energy to jump up, leap up, and to get to the minyan on time. So a person should know, whatever path you want to choose, you'll be helped along, prodded along from heaven. Now, The Zohar HaKadosh gives us a deeper insight to how heaven helps those to continue whichever path they choose, especially in this case that we just brought, where the Gemara says that a person goes to this place of idol worship and the miracle is performed for him. The Zohar HaKadosh says that Yochanan told, Yochanan was the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael at that time, he said, I want to testify to this fact. A Jew, one of my Talmidim, one of his students, he said, who was very ill, and he was sort of a cripple in a sense, he could not find a cure. He went to doctors and medicines, he could not be cured. And then he discovered, he saw that there was a place of idol worship where cripples would go into that place in the evening, in the morning they come out completely cured. So he said to himself, let me see what goes on there. Of course, we learned previously that you're not allowed to use any kind of a cure from a goy or an atheist. You cannot accept any medicine from them, but I will not accept it. At least I'm allowed to look, to see, to study, to observe. So he went to this place, he had this place in the evening together with all the other cripples, and he saw them sit around the wall, sitting on the floor in a circle around the wall, and it was sort of semi-dark, and he noticed that slowly each one of them dozed off. He fell asleep. He remained alert, awake, because he wanted to spy, observe what was going on. After everyone was asleep, he saw a figure, a ghost-like figure, enter with different types of medicines in his hand. And he walked over to each one, this ghost-like figure, put some of the medicine on that person, and as he did it, he noticed that the person's affliction disappeared. It was completely cured, instantaneously. He went from one to the other in order, and this Jew was very excited. He was coming closer to him. This figure came close to him. The person next to him was cured. Then he bypassed him, went to the person on the other side. He looked up and said to this, called this figure and said, just a minute, pal, whatever you are. He said, well, don't pass me by. I need that too. Can't you see I'm crippled also? This ghost-like apparition turned and said, you are a Jew. This is not the lot of a Jew. This is not made for a Jew who has faith. This is only for those who have wrong ideals and false faith, atheism. For them that want to be misled, I come here to help them follow their wrong path. Let them go deeper and deeper into the path of disbelief, the path that leads to ultimate doom in the hereafter. But for you, you have emunah, you have faith. You know that this has no meaning and no bearing. You know where the cures actually come from. So these medicines I have are not for you at all. This Jew came out, told this to his Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, I'm glad to tell this story, illustrate clearly what the Gemara says. Zohar HaKadosh says, I got, by the way, there was one person in the Gemara known as Yesi Charsho, Yesi, who was deaf, afflicted with a deafness. Out of curiosity, he too decided to go to this place. He went there also, and it seems that the angel was also deaf. He refused to listen to his pleas. He wouldn't help him to cure him. He came back and reported this to Rabbi Yochanan. So we see from this very clearly that if you ever find a case of a person of evil who is able to produce a type of medication that can cure miraculously, or you find one who is actually haughty, which is like an idol himself, and who has special therapeutic powers, surgical powers, know that this is made only to mislead those who want to be misguided. But for those who have true faith, we know And it's not the doctor, it is not the surgeon, it is not the medicine. It is Hashem who cures. Hashem does not need a doctor to help him. He does not need medicines to cure the person with. The will of Hashem alone, the word of Hashem, is enough to cure any person. Therefore, if you ever want the right medicine, the right doctor, a simple tefillah, a simple prayer to Hashem, can accomplish much more than all the money you spend on doctors and medicines combined. Plus, one thing is certain. If you go to Hashem, Hashem will not say to you, come back for future treatments, come back for further visits, and bring your checkbook with you every time. These are free. Speak to Hashem. There's no charge for saying a prayer. There's no charge for the cure that Hashem sends. When it is necessary to use the medication or the surgery which does exist as a cure for a certain illness, at least it's up to us who have faith to know that it's not the doctor who's doing it. The surgery is an act of Hashem, the will of Hashem, that this will be cured through this surgery, not by this person. It's not this person's knowledge or his ability or his greatness, chas v'shalom. It is all the bracha of Hashem. When a person is cured, he should show his gratitude to Hashem rather than speak with praises about this, my great doctor who cured me, what he did to me. This is the basis for Emunah. Basis for Emunah, Hashem, who is the Kel Melech Refei Nemo V'Rachman. Hashem is the king, is the trustworthy doctor who cures all with his compassion and pity on those who are close to him. The Gemara says that the Shlokish was Rabbi Yochanan's Talmud. We've had many stories about Rabbi Yochanan, who was the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael, and his closest disciple, Shlokish, whom he had brought close to him and whom he had developed into in stature next to Rabbi Yochanan himself. Shlokish was very devoted and very loyal to Rabbi Yochanan. He was given the right, the privilege, to rule, to decide Hebrew law. Otherwise, a Talmud is never allowed to deliver, to render a psak halacha in front of his rabbi. Shlokish was the exception. He was told that he may render because he had the ability and the knowledge. He also says that Shlokish once went to the city of Botsra, and he saw that they ate the food without taking off meiser. There is a din in Eretz Yisrael. You must take off 1/10 of any kind of crops, any vegetation that grows, 1/10 that's supposed to go to the kohen. Even today, the din of meiser exists in Eretz Yisrael. So he saw that these Jews in that city were eating without taking off meiser. And he issued a decree, said, with the power vested in me as a chief rabbi in Israel, as one of the chief rabbis, he said, I decree that the Jews in Botsra henceforth must give meiser, must give 1/10 of the food before they eat it. Then he went further and saw that there was a stream of water which the Jews drank from, while the goyim there used this stream of water as an idol worship. There are goyim who worship the sun, the moon, the stars, and some worship water. We've had the case of the Kusim and Kadriyim, ones who worship fire, ones who worship water. This body of water was worshipped by these goyim. Shlokish said, since they worship this body of water, it's an idol, no Jew is allowed to drink from this water. Then he returned to the yeshiva, and there he met Rabbi Yochanan. He told Rabbi Yochanan, he reported to him, this is what I accomplished today. I issued 2 decrees, how am I doing? Rabbi Yochanan said, I would suggest that you do not take your coat off. You have your coat, keep your coat on, and go right back to the city of Botsra and remove, nullify your own 2 decrees. Shlokish was surprised. What was my error? Because the city of Botsra is not part of Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, since it's outside of Israel, outside of the boundary, there is no din of Maisa there. Secondly, the din is that there is no Isur on anything which is attached to the ground. If a Goy, for example, would worship a mountain, does that mean that a Jew is not allowed to walk on that mountain? Or a Goy would suddenly worship the earth itself, do we have to move to the moon because they worship the earth? A Goy cannot make usur anything which is part of the earth itself by worshipping it. Therefore, since the water is part of the earth, the water remains 100% kosher for the Jews. Now, the question is, most of us just finished Leda Siyam on Masechta Makkos. You recall, you are in Makkos, I'm sure you recall very clearly, we had the Gemara there about the laws of Golus. There were certain cities especially designated as cities of refuge. If a person kills someone accidentally, meaning unintentionally, and his life is in danger because the relatives of the victim want vengeance, and these cities of refuge are set aside by the Torah as a place where the killer can escape, stay there in safety. One of those cities is the city of Betzer. Rish Lakish in the Gemara Makkos, if you recall, states that when Mashiach comes, there'll be a war on earth, and also a war in heaven. Two battles will take place. Until now, the Goyim Lahavdil seem to rule the earth. They belittle and harass and actually cause untold harm, damage, hurt, and death to the Jewish people throughout the ages. When Mashiach comes, that will come to an end. Mashiach will wage war against the enemies of the Jews, and he will destroy all of them. Above all, he'll destroy Amalek, the worst tribe, who is associated with Edom, whose leader is Esav. Esav is the head of all the evil tribes on earth. Of course, that includes especially the Arabs, part of descendants of Esav, will be destroyed by Mashiach. Esav has a guardian angel. Every nation has a guardian angel in heaven, except the Jews. The Jews have Hashem himself, who guards Shema Yisrael. Hashem himself guards the Jews, which is the reason why so many great empires have become extinct. They've been wiped out completely, great empires, while the small, tiny nation of Jews, despite all the enemies throughout the generations, still remain. There's constant attacks against them, bloody attacks. The streets of most of the countries in the world are soaked with, saturated with Jewish blood. Millions upon millions of Jews have been killed throughout the ages, and still the Jew remains invincible. There's no way that the Goyim combined efforts of all the nations on earth at all time can ever eradicate the Jew, Chas v'Shalom, because of the shepherd. The Jew is a little lamb among 70 wolves. These 70 wolves keep tearing at this Jew, and they cannot destroy him, because of the power of the shepherd, the Shema Yisrael. Hashem is our shepherd. Hashem rescues us from the attacks of these wild animals. So when you have the United Nations, all united, all combined in their effort, every nation on earth today has internal problems, and they have bilateral problems. They have problems among, bickering among themselves, among their neighbors, large powers, small powers, degenerates, all of them have concentrated on one thing. One problem today confronts the entire United Nations of the world: Israel. It's a thorn in their side. One thing they want is to get at Israel. Even those who pretend to be friends and allies of Israel would like nothing better than to rid themselves of this thorn. And yet, despite this concentrated effort of such vast worldly powers, Israel remains solidly. And Israel, of course, could be much more solid if they would conduct themselves more in conformity with the mitzvahs, the laws of the Torah. It's a pity that there is a shortage of that to a degree. However, the fact still is that as little as there are among the Torah-abiding Jews, those are the ones, they are the foundation of Jewry, and they keep, they retain the Jews as a nation, and will retain them till Mashiach comes. So that all the efforts of these Goyim to destroy the Jews are in vain, because Hashem watches over them, Hashem guards them, and no one can destroy them. There is one, Esav, the head of all the Goyim on earth, who has a guardian angel in heaven. This guardian angel is the Satan himself. He is called the Samach Mem. We are not allowed to pronounce the full name. The Samach Mem, the last letters of that name are Kale. Now, he is called that because Samach Mem itself, the first two letters, literally translated a poison. It is a poison, a spiritual poison. The Samach Mem is actually Satan. He is the serpent, the original serpent, the beginning of time, who misguided Adam and Chava, Adam and Eve, and who eventually brought death to the world. It was this serpent's poison that exiled Adam and Eve from Gan Eden, and it was this serpent's earthly counterpart, Esav, Edom, who exiled the Jews from their paradise on earth, from Israel. So when this war will take place on earth, Mashiach will destroy Esav, meaning all the nations, the United Nations that are against the Jews, at the same time, simultaneously, Hashem will wage war against the Samach Mem, the super angel in heaven, and Hashem will slaughter that angel. You find that in the Haggadah at the end. If you ever read the story of Chad Gadya, one goat, one kid, the Zaben Abba Mitrei Zuzei, who father bought for two Zuzim. Father, of course, is Hashem, who bought us for the two tablets. This was the price. That it is, he acquired us as his nation. We are the nation of Hashem through the tablets, which means the Torah, the two Torahs, written Torah, the oral Torah. This was the marriage kaviyachol between the Chosin and Kala at Mount Sinai. And then we have the other nations who kept on attacking one after the other, all symbolized by different figures: the cat, the dog, the stick, fire, the water, the ox. Finally, we come there to the Malach HaMavos, the angel of death. It's a Samach Mem. The last paragraph says, eventually Hashem will come, he will slaughter the angel of death. Slaughter means that will be the war waged in heaven, and he will be wiped out. This fact is known to the angel of death, is known to the Samach Mem. He knows that his time is limited. He knows his time will come, and therefore he waits with trepidation for that moment. Now, Shlokish said in the Gemara there that the angel of death thinks he is wise. After all, he is an angel. He is very learned in the Gemara. So when the time comes, he will flee. He'll say, even if I did commit murder, if I led this murderous assault against the Jews, still there is a city of refuge where I can flee to and be safe according to the laws of the Torah. Shlokish there says that he will make a very serious error, because he'll go to the city of Butzra, which is not the city of Betzer. Betzer is the city of refuge, not Butzra. Butzra is outside the limits. Plus, of course, the second mistake is that the city of refuge saves only those who kill unintentionally. He is an open murderer, deliberately. But the question arises, though, we see that Rish Lakish was fully aware of the fact that Betzer was the city and not Botzra. Since Rish Lakish knew that, how come that here he came to the city and told these people, give Meiser, give a tenth because you are in Israel? He himself stated that this is not considered part of Israel. The answer is that this is not chronological. This story came first. Rish Lakish first came to Botzra, and he learned through this era that Botzra is not Betzer, Botzra is not Israel. He came back to Rabbi Yochanan. Once he learned this, then in Makos he made the statement in which he said, just as I made the mistake, so too is that character going to make the same mistake when Mashiach comes. If I can do it, he can surely do it. He'll make the same error by thinking that Botzra is the city in Israel, and he'll go there for refuge and find out his mistake is much more serious than mine, because he will end up slaughtered by Hashem. Of course, the Zohar Kodesh says that how do you slaughter an angel? After all, an angel is a messenger of Hashem. There is good to every angel. There is heavenly power to him. The Zohar Kodesh says the slaughtering of the Samach Mem means that Hashem will sever and cut him in half, remove the Samach Mem, and leave the last half, Kale, the heavenly part will remain, the evil part will be completely erased. Now the Gemara tells us that Rava was one of the most famous of the rabbis of the Gemara, the latter rabbis of the Gemara, later generations of the Maida. Rava decided to bring a gift to a person, to a goy, very high official, and he felt that this guy perhaps was not an idol worshiper. He could visit him in his castle. This is a very strange story. This is a story which I heard lectured a number of times before when I was younger, and I always walked out feeling unsatiated, unsatisfied. There was something missing, something special. The story rates deeper study, and as we'll see, it's difficult to analyze, to clarify the story, unless we have the insight given to us by the Rabbeinu Zal in Likutei Maran. The Rabbeinu Zal actually opens our eyes clear with his words so we can really understand the story. Rava, who was the chief rabbi of Bavel at that time, decided to bring a gift to this official, a high official, Roman official. His name was Bar Sheshach. Bar Sheshach, strange type of a name. He came to this man's palace, his castle, very wealthy castle, and they have found Bar Sheshach in a swimming pool of fragrant flowers, spices, special aromas. It was the picture of wealth. But he was surrounded by women, by the illicit type of women, by prostitutes, unclothed. This was his type of earthly pleasure. And he was in this pool submerged up to his neck. When Rava came in, he greeted him, and with a smile he said to Rava, look at the pleasures that we have. Tell me, you are ascetics. You deprive yourselves of pleasure of this world. And why? Because you claim that your pleasure is forthcoming in Gan Eden, paradise. Tell me the truth. Do you have something like this in paradise? You expect to have women like these in paradise? Rava very solemnly replied, yes, we'll have something like this in paradise. But ours will be better than yours. Bar Sheshach asked, what can be better than this? What is better? You have more beauty than this? Rava said, no, it's not a question of beauty, it's a question of enjoying it. We'll enjoy more than you, because whatever we have, we'll enjoy without fear. You here on earth are always in fear that something will happen. Suddenly some tragedy may strike. suddenly you may get caught. You're caught in an embarrassing position. This could destroy you. And Basheshach said, how can I get caught? Can be wrong. And Rava said, wait and see. A minute later, a messenger knocked, came in and said, I come with an order from the king to arrest Basheshach, apparently for conduct unbecoming to a high official. Basheshach clothed himself, walked out, and said to Rava, you're wonderful. You people are really great. Therefore, he said, I want to wish you best of luck. I want to wish you that any person who has an evil eye, who begrudges you anything, that his eye should fall out. And Rava said, Amen. Immediately, Basheshach's eye fell out. Which showed how sincere his feelings were towards the Jews, despite his statement. This was usual. Now, he used the word ayin ra. Ayin ra, an evil eye, a bad eye. Benadol says ayin ra is the symbol of Esav. Esav, you recall, when Yaakov was about to meet him, Yaakov wanted to satisfy Esav's evil desire. He prepared a vast gift for him. Many hundreds of cattle, total of 580 different types of animals to satisfy the craving of Esav for wealth. Esav had with him 400 men, 400 cohorts, accomplices. These 400 men were not simply men. They are brought as an iron raw. He had this evil eye which was equal to 400 men, because iron raw is begimatria, numerically 400. So that this is the evil eye means then, that it stems from Esav. Basheshach was a Babylonian stemming from Esav, and therefore he had this evil eye. But let's understand what is missing. What about the first part of the story? It seems very unpleasant to speak about things that are so abhorrent. The word zinus or zinus, prostitution, are words that are never spoken of by Jews. Should not be. This age of ours now, the age of promiscuity, the age of profanity, the age of permissiveness, an age where morals have become so decayed that these things have become commonplace. What is the cause of this? And how is a person attacked by this? How serious is it? Benadol says this comes from not the ordinary Yetzer Hara, not the ordinary evil angel. Ordinary evil angel cannot produce something as evil as this. Because one thing the Torah says that Hashem dislikes sins. Hashem dislikes a sinner, but he will accept a sinner who repents, no matter what he does. Hashem despises zinus. Hashem despises zinus to the extent that he is willing to give a penalty of death for it, even no matter how great the person would be. The two sons of Yehuda, Er and Onan, as we find in the Torah, both killed because of wasting seed. And especially in the case of Znus, naturally with that wasting it's compounded, therefore the very heavy penalty of death that we find written about in the Torah. Now, the Torah says that Bilam Harosha, Bilam the evil prophet of the Goyim, was sent by Balak, the king of Moab. Together, they banded together to try to hurt, to harm the Jews. When Bilam, with all his evil, couldn't do it, he decided upon a new form of attack.